Please turn, if you would, to the book of Acts, the first chapter. Acts chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 9 through verse 11. My text is found in verse 11 and is my consideration. Verse 9 through verse 11, Acts chapter 1. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Sometimes you hear of things and read of things which seem to be so spectacular that you become skeptical and you question what you have read or what you have heard. Don't we often reply, yeah, right. You ever done that? Or with the sarcasm we might say, yeah, I believe that. Well, that which we have read in our text today may be something to which you have responded with doubt and skepticism. Perhaps for you the Bible was a mystery and you aren't sure whether or not you can trust its content. You may even be one who professes Christianity but rejects the miraculous portions of Scripture. There are people that do that. You believe the Gospels but you reject the flood of Noah. You believe the book of Romans but you deny Jonah being swallowed up by a great fish. You believe the epistles but you are very skeptical of the book of Revelation. And then again, you may not profess Christianity at all, in which case you aren't sure of the authenticity of the Bible to begin with. So much seems to be unreasonable. And for you, it isn't scientific, and if it's not scientific, it can't be proven. And if it's not scientific, it can't be proven, then it just couldn't be. And for you, faith is alien in your philosophy. But I submit unto you today that the Bible is God's Word, and it is true, and it can be trusted. I submit that God is real, and most of what we know about Him came from this book. And I submit unto you that I believe in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that He is the Son of God, and that He ascended back into heaven, just as our verse tells us that He did. So I want to speak to you a message I've entitled, This Same Jesus. We read that in verse 11. This same Jesus. Let's pray. God in heaven, today again we thank You for the privilege of being in Your house. Thank You for these that could be with us today. And our heart goes out to those who would love to be here and cannot due to sickness and providential hindrance. We ask that You'd bless them and heal them and, Lord, meet all those needs. But we've come together today to honor You and worship You in spirit and in truth. Lord, we pray for those that are here that You would just speak to our hearts, that those that are lost, You would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus, help them to recognize who He is today and what He has accomplished and what He has made available for them that they might be saved. Lord, we pray for those of us who are saved, we'd be reminded once again of our Lord and Savior. So we just desire to love You today. And we just commit all this to You today, and we pray that Your perfect will would be accomplished, and we thank You for what You're going to do. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. This same Jesus is what we're talking about within the text as you begin in the book of Acts. Luke is the inspired writer, and he begins to write just a history again of the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he makes quick reference there about His passion, how He died, and He was buried, He rose again. And then he began to speak about after Jesus rose again from the dead that He walked for 40 days with His disciples, appeared unto them, spoke with them. And as you come down through the passage, Jesus gives them a great promise, verse 7 and verse 8, about He's going to leave and the Holy Spirit's going to come and His place. And then, well, when we began reading then in verse 9 down through verse 11, it says that while He was talking to them about this, that all of a sudden it was time for Him to leave, that He was taken up from them. And so in your mind's eye, what you have to envision is that as His apostles were gathered around Him, that all of a sudden He just starts floating up. You know, and I mean, he just keeps floating up, and he just keeps on floating up. And it says a cloud received him out of our sight. Now, that's very spectacular, isn't it? Anybody ever seen that? You haven't seen that. You might see on TV sometime where somebody might trick, where they have this deception where they look like they float about 2 or 3 inches off the ground for a split second. But you haven't seen anybody just standing there and all of a sudden just start floating up and off they go, and there they go. Not without an airplane. And that's what happened here. Jesus just ascended up. Cloud received him out of sight, out of their sight. And then these angels appeared and began to tell these guys what was going on about this Jesus who he left. And he's going to come back again. And we'll look at that as we go through the text. But I want to point out to you in verse 11, as these angels spoke to these disciples, they said, this same Jesus. Now, who is this Jesus that we talk about? Who's the Jesus that I speak of today? What's the reference here? I judge that you would remember. You can go back in the Scriptures and read about his birth, that he was born of a Virgin Mary, and he was born in a stable, and the shepherds were out in the field, and an angelic host appeared, and all that. And then a couple years later, the three wise men show up to give gifts to him and all that, and they were in the house, and The wise men went and departed back to their country a different way, but because of the threats of the government, well, him and his family, they fled to Egypt and were down in Egypt until the death of Herod. And then they came back, and they were afraid to stay in Judea, so they went up to the area of the Sea of Galilee and lived in a town of Nazareth. So we speak about Jesus of Nazareth. And you might have read in the Scriptures how at the age of 12, when they went to Jerusalem at the Passover, that Jesus kind of lingered behind, and when it was all over and the family was returning home and they went a day's journey and they began to look for him and they couldn't find him, and he was somewhere back in Jerusalem, and he was only 12 years of age. And so they returned back to this city looking for him and sought him, and they finally found him in the temple talking with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those leaders back there. You might have read about this Jesus who grew up just like anybody else grew up. I mean, he was a man. He became a carpenter by trade. He had a family. He had half-brothers and sisters. Well, we believe that Jesus was conceived of by the Holy Spirit. And so after he was born, then Joseph and Mary had their own children. So he had half-brothers and half-sisters. But he grew up like everybody else. He grew up just like you and me. He ate, he slept, he heard, he laughed, he cried. I mean, he had all the events that humans go through. Why? Because he became a man. God became a man. And so you read about the history of Jesus, he just grew up like everybody else. He looked like everybody else. But when it came to the time of age 30, that he began his ministry. And so then he began to, he was baptized by John. The Holy Spirit came down upon him. He began to preach. He began to teach. And for 3.5 years, he taught and he healed people and raised the dead and performed all kinds of miracles. It's that Jesus that we talk about today. It's that same Jesus. And of course, if you know anything about the Scriptures, you know that the Jews were very upset at his ministry. They didn't like him, and they had the opportunity now to take him, and so they did. They delivered him over to the Romans, and Jesus was crucified on the cross. And so he was nailed to the old Roman gibbet there, and he died on the cross. Jesus Christ was crucified. That's the Jesus that we talk about. This one that had been killed by the Romans at the request of the Jews. This same Jesus. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I submit unto you that it was, as we look into our passage then, you know who I'm talking about. You know who I'm fixed upon. The man Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. It is this same Jesus, verse 11, that was taken up into heaven. You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven. Again, try to envision what that means. He was amidst them and he just ascends up into the clouds and off he goes. You ever seen a balloon go up? You know, you get a hot air, a helium balloon, and you let go of that thing, and it's up, and it goes right out of sight, doesn't it? Well, Jesus wasn't a hot air balloon or a helium balloon, but he just up and away. Now, do you believe that to be true? I ask you, do you believe the Bible? You've never seen it happen. You can read about it. Do you believe it? Do you really believe that as those disciples stood around, he just up and away? Well, I do. But when you think about this for a moment, you entertain what the Bible has to say here about this same Jesus which was taken up from you into heaven. There's some questions that have to come to your mind in order to believe this. And the first question I would submit unto you, and you might just be raising this up, wait a second, I thought he was dead. Now that's a good question because Jesus was crucified, was he not? And so you might say, well, this same Jesus was ascended up into heaven. How could that be? He was dead. He was in the grave. How in the world can he be going to heaven? I've preached a number of funerals in my ministry down through these 30 years. And I've been to cemeteries on more occasions than I desire. And I've visited them to visit family members and things like that. And you know what? I've never seen any of them come out of those graves. They're all still there. Now you look at Jesus and you say, well, he was killed, and we can read it in the Scripture. We know that he died. And how could it be that he ascended up into heaven? How is it he was taken up? Well, I would submit unto you, there are some skeptics who say, well, Jesus really didn't die on the cross. They call it the swoon theory. They say he really wasn't dead, but he just kind of passed out. And they couldn't really tell that he was dead. And he just swooned, and when he got into the grave, the coolness of the grave brought him back. And, of course, then you got the real problem is how he's going to unwrap himself because they already wrapped him for burial. But he unwrapped himself, supposedly, and then he moved a great stone and escaped. That's just a bunch of baloney, isn't it? Is it okay to use the word baloney in the pulpit? Yeah, well, it is. It's ridiculous. But they think it's the swoon theory. I submit unto you, and I'm going to look at a passage here in Mark chapter 15 if you want to read it with me over there. But in Mark chapter 15... and in verse 43, I want you to know that Jesus really did die on the cross. He was dead as dead can be. And the Scripture tells us that. Mark chapter 15, verse 43, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. He couldn't believe it himself. And he calling unto him the centurion, the soldier who was over, who was responsible for the crucifixion of Christ, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew of it, of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. There's no trickery going on. He was dead. But you're going to say, wait a minute, if he was dead, how could he be this same Jesus be ascending up? That's a good question. And, well, I'll tell you, my friend, either the Bible is wrong or he is no longer dead. That's one of the two, isn't it? If Christ was crucified, how can he ascend up? Well, either he rose again from the dead or the Bible's a lie. I know the Bible is true. And Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. And so your next question logically is, how is it that he could rise again from the dead? How is this even possible? Wasn't he just a man like everybody else? Was he just a good man or a prophet or a teacher? Was he just like everybody else? Well, he was in a human body, but he was actually God who came down and take himself a human body. Because he was more than just a man in that regard. This same Jesus is the Son of God. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. You always have to remember who Jesus Christ is. And so you wonder how it is that this man who is dead could now be alive. Well, it's because he was the Son of God. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you believe that? I do. But if you believe he's just a man like every other man, and there wasn't anything distinct or different about him, you know what? You're not going to believe he rose again from the dead because that makes no sense. Nobody's ever really done that. And the difference with the Lord Jesus Christ being God is that He rose again from the dead, never to die again. That's the tremendous thing about that. Over, listen, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. It talks about who Jesus Christ is, saying that who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. God's Son is the Savior of all men. Listen, if you will, to Titus chapter 2. And in verse 10, it says that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior in all things. God is our Savior. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus left heaven, came to earth to become a Savior of sinners. That's good news, isn't it? And so He's not like every other man. Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. And because He was God manifest in the flesh, He had power over death. Yes, He died like every other man. He gave up the ghost. He gave up the spirit. I'm going to look at John chapter 10 and in verse 18 where Jesus had told them, listen, no man takes it from me, but I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. What's that mean? Jesus had power over His death. No one took Him. He wasn't a victim at their hands. It wasn't an accidental thing. He surrendered His life. And so I can read over in the book of Luke in chapter 23. Let me read to you verse 46. It says, when Jesus cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. No man took His life from Him. He gave up His life. He surrendered it. Now I grant you that you can attempt to take your life, but you know, if God doesn't allow you to die, you're not going to die. It's just not going to happen. That doesn't mean you're stupid or foolish or presumptuous and you're going to go out there and jump in front of a train and go, well, if God doesn't want me to die, I won't die. Well, that's kind of ignorant because I can about guarantee you jumping in front of a moving train, God wants you to die. And so you don't do that kind of a thing. We're not trying to encourage you that way. But what I'm trying to tell you is that Jesus Christ is God's Son. He had power over His death. And even as He hung there on the cross, He said, into Your hands I commend my spirit. He died in exactly when He wanted to die. Now, we know that He had this power over His death. And you might have power over your death. You might think about it. But listen, if you die, can you bring yourself back? You can't do it, can you? But He could. You know why? Because He was God's Son. And so what we recognize is, well, He did die. This same Jesus did die on the cross, and He was buried. But He rose again. That's the good news. And you say, well, that itself is very spectacular. Yes, it is. But will you believe it? Will you believe that Christ was killed, buried, risen again? You need to. You need to. Christ is the first one to rise again from the dead, never to die again. There had been, you can read in the Scriptures, and I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but you can read in the Scriptures how the people have been raised from the dead. Jesus raised several from the dead. Lazarus was one of them. The widow of Nain, her son was dead. He touched the bier and the casket thing, and he rose up. People rose again from the dead, but they all died again. That's the problem. But Jesus is the first to rise again from the dead, never to die again. You say, that's too spectacular to believe. You need to believe the Word of God. You need to know who Jesus is. You need to know what He has accomplished. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Why is He the first fruits? Because He is the first one to rise again, never to die again. And so the book of Acts records for us in Acts chapter 26 and in verse 22 and verse 23. Acts 26, verse 22-23. Paul in his testimony says, having therefore obtained good help, or the help of God, I continued unto this day, witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. What was Paul's message? That Christ should suffer and that He should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Yeah, that Christ, that was Paul's message. And that's why they hated Paul. because he spoke about Jesus who is risen from the dead. This Jesus who is alive. Christ was risen, the first fruits of them that slept. Listen, if you will, Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 says, He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning. Christ is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Are you following that? And so, when I mention unto you this same Jesus, we read in our text, this same Jesus was taken up into heaven. It's okay to have the question, I thought He was dead. But we say, well, He rose again from the dead. We believe that. That's what the Bible teaches. And He had to rise again from the dead if He was going to ascend up. But then that next question enters into your mind, well, that's remarkable. Why would God become a man to die? Why would He do that? Well, the reason is you're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've done things wrong. And the wages of sin is death. And God, in His love and His mercy toward mankind, sent Jesus Christ to become a sacrifice for sinners. And so we read in the book of Romans, in chapter 5, verse 8, God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How tremendous is that? Why did He do that? He did it for me that I might have eternal life. Dear sinner friend, you've been saved. He did it for you that you might have eternal life. Let me read to you a brief passage over in the book of Romans in chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And it says that verse 24, For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that He should offer Himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must He have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him, He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Jesus Christ came and died and was buried and rose again. Why? So that I might have eternal life. So that as a sinner, you might be saved. And you might be asking, well, is there really any proof to His resurrection? Well, I've never seen Him. I didn't have the privilege of putting my hand into the nail prints of His hands like Thomas did. But I believe the Word of God, and I believe the testimony that God tells us in the Gospels. But Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and in verse 5, that after He was raised again the third day, it says He was seen of Peter, then of the 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once. I mean, 500 people saw Him at one time. Of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep or some have already died. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all you have seen of me also as one born out of due time. You remember when Paul saw Jesus, do you not? He was on the road to Damascus when he was going to go persecute Christians, and Jesus appeared to him in that glorious light at noon. And so Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Our text tells us that in verse 11, He was ascended up, taken up into heaven. He couldn't do that from the grave. But He rose again from the dead and He was alive. In verse 3 of Acts chapter 1, it says that He showed Himself alive after His passion or after His death by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So I think about this same Jesus who is taken up into heaven. And that tells me that Jesus is exactly who He said He was. He was God's Son. And I'll tell you, dear friend, if you're going to deny His person, if you're going to deny that He was risen from the dead, you're going to have to deny the Bible. But you ought to believe the Bible. You ought to embrace it as the Word of God. Back here in our text in Acts chapter 1, this same Jesus was taken up. But you'll notice in that text, it says this same Jesus was taken up from you into heaven. I believe with all my heart that Jesus rose again from the dead. He ascended up and He went up into heaven beyond the stars and the moon and the galaxies and the universe. And He is in heaven right now at the right hand of the Father. I believe that because the Bible tells us that is so. That seems kind of remarkable, doesn't it? Will you believe it? Will you believe God's Word? He is at the right hand of the Father. Let me offer you some verses as proof to that. Acts chapter 7 and verse 56. Acts 7, 56, Stephen in his great defense makes this statement. And he saw heaven opened. They were getting ready to stone Stephen to death. And he said in verse 56, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. I'm not making this up, my friend. This is what the Bible tells us. Jesus Christ was dead, but He's alive. And He's in heaven right now at the right hand of God. Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse 3. "Who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1, just a few more pages over. 8:1. "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the Majesty in heaven." Chapter 10, book of Hebrews, verse 12. "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." 1 Peter chapter 3, just another book over. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22. "Who," and it's a reference to Jesus Christ, "who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him." Yeah, this same Jesus, the one that was killed and buried, He rose again from the dead. And He ascended up beyond the stars into heaven. He's at the right hand of God. That same Jesus. You say, what in the world is He doing up there? Back in Hebrews chapter 7, if you can look back there, or let me read it to you. But what He's doing up there is He's making intercession for His saints. In Hebrews 7 verse 25 says, "Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." Chapter 9, book of Hebrews, verse 24. "I read unto you, Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, to appear in the presence of God for us." We just read that a moment ago. For us. He appears there in our behalf. Back to Romans chapter 8, verse 34. I read this. "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." One other verse, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. John writes by the inspiration of the Spirit and says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." He is our lawyer. He is our intercessor. I submit unto you, when we look into our text today in Acts chapter 1, and we read about this same Jesus was taken up into heaven. That's where He is. This same Jesus. And this same Jesus will come again. Look at the last part of the text. This is the final point of my message, Acts chapter 1, verse 11. "This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven." My friend, I want you to know that this same Jesus will come again. And He will come in the same manner He went. How did He leave? He ascended up and a cloud received Him out of their sight. When He comes back, He comes with the clouds. And every eye is going to see Him. Every eye will see Him. Even those that are lost will see Christ coming. They'll be afraid of Him and they'll hide themselves. He is coming again. How do I know that? Well, it's promised in our text. The angels told these guys, this same Jesus, He's gone. He's coming back. So we have the promise of the Word of God. But we also have the promise of Jesus Himself as He recorded over in John in chapter 14 and in verse 3 where He says, "If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Isn't that tremendous news? He's in heaven. One of these days he's coming back. Why? So then his people can be with him forever. Turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 19, and you'll not need to turn any further. Revelation chapter 19. This same Jesus will come again, just as our text tells us, just as promised by Jesus Christ himself, but also as we read in the Scriptures as prophecy. You say, I don't like Revelation. Well, learn to love it. That's still true. Revelation chapter 19. Pick it up there in verse 11. It says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as the flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture, on his clothes, and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Yes, this same Jesus, the one who was crucified, he was taken up. Why? Because he rose again from the dead. Where was he taken up to? He was taken up into heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. And one of these days, he is coming back again. So in closing, I would like for us to consider just a few things. Number one, since Jesus is God, how should you respond to him? In disbelief? I don't believe that. I don't buy into that. Yeah, right. Is that how you should respond to Jesus? Should you respond flippantly? Well, who cares? So what if he's the Son of God? What makes the difference? Is that the kind of attitude you ought to have? Or if Jesus is who he said he is, and he is, my friend, and he's in heaven, and he's coming back one of these days, shouldn't you respond with reverence? Shouldn't you respond with trust and obedience to him? Will you believe who he is? Will you believe his person? How should you respond to him? I believe you ought to respond to him in reverence and dignity, fear, trust, and obedience. And of course, that leads me to the second question, and that is, well, do you really believe the Bible? Everything I've said to you today is found right here. This is God's Word. It's not mine. Will you believe the Bible? Will you believe what God has said? Do you believe that Jesus is God's Son? You might not believe that. You might just say, no, I don't buy into that. You need to, my friend, because he is God's Son. But do you believe it? Do you believe that he's alive? That he was risen from the dead? Many don't. The Bible says that he did. And I believe it with all my heart. Do you believe that he's in heaven right now, as the Bible teaches us? Do you believe he's coming back to earth again one of these days? He could come today, couldn't he? What a marvel. Christ could come again. Do you really believe that he knows you and knows who you are and knows your heart? Do you believe? Would you believe? Have you, my friend, today recognized him as he truly is? As the Bible teaches him to be? Have you repented and received him as Lord and Savior? Do you know Christ? Have you submitted to his lordship in your daily life? Do you have any desire to serve him? I pray that you will. Dear Christian, do you love him today? Do you love him? So I say unto you, sinner, today, know who Jesus is. Know that you're a sinner, lost and undone. But that he left heaven, came to earth, so that you can be forgiven of your sin. And he's alive. He's in heaven right now. One of these days he's coming back. And you know what? If you repent and believe on him, he'll save you today. Would you trust him? Sinner, would you be saved today? Would you turn your heart over to God? And dear saint, you know that you're saved. You know he's given you eternal life. Will you serve him? Will you submit to him? Will you desire to love him more and more day by day? I pray that you will. I pray that you will. Because this same Jesus. Yes, the one that was dead. This same Jesus. Well, He rose again from the dead. He ascended up into heaven. And as remarkable and as fantastical as that sounds, it's true. And He's in heaven. He's coming back one of these days. Sinner, be saved. Christian, live for the Lord who gave His life for you. Let's stand. This same Jesus. Father, thank You for the day. Bless Your word to our hearts and just work it in our midst by Your Spirit. We ask You to convict the lost, and we ask You to draw them to You. We ask that You would save them, and we pray for the saved that we might be encouraged once again, reminded of the great love that You've demonstrated for us and the salvation You've given to us, and may we be found true and faithful to You. Lord, just meet every need. We commit it to You. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Numbers 326.